St. Joseph's Health presents another edition of its podcast, St. Joseph's Health Medcast.
Along with the joy and anticipation of having a baby comes concern and worry as well. Here to tackle your biggest pregnancy fears and put your mind at ease is Dr. James Brown, Medical Director, Women and Children's Services at St. Joseph's Health. Dr. Brown, thanks for your time. So it's completely normal to have some fear and worry when it comes to pregnancy, is that right?
Oh, it most certainly is. Patients come in frantic at times because they're so concerned and worried about the what if. And most of the time, you know, everything goes along really, really perfectly well.
Well, that is the good news. So what are some of the biggest concerns that women have?
You know, I think at the beginning of pregnancy, when patients are first arriving in the office, their biggest first concerns are how to deal with the morning sickness, and their greatest fear of, is the pregnancy going to continue? Are they going to miscarry? And if it continues, what about birth defects? Those are probably the top three things that at the initial visits patients are most concerned about.
So help put women's mind at ease. Let's talk about birth defects and miscarriage. I know those are scary things, but why should women not worry so much about those two?
Well, I think the birth defects, there's something that people can do if they're thoughtful about when they're trying to get pregnant, and that's the use of prenatal vitamins. Folic acid, which is what makes a prenatal vitamin do its good job, has been shown to absolutely decrease the chance of a particular type of birth defect that happens with the nervous system. They're called neural tube defects, or spina bifida is the common name. And the addition of folic acid in your prenatal vitamins before you get pregnant and during the first several weeks of pregnancy can really help significantly diminish that from occurring. The other thing is knowing not to use alcohol and other type prescription medications that carry known risks so that you're aware of them. And those are the central like defects. Those are the things like cleft palate and cleft lip. And so again, if you avoid alcohol in the beginning of pregnancy and you're aware of what medications by prescription can cause those things, you can avoid that risk very easily. In terms of the miscarriage, miscarriages are really very quite common. And the majority of times, we find that the reason for a miscarriage is that there's something genetically wrong with a pregnancy, something like a chromosomal abnormality, Down syndrome being probably one of the more common type of chromosomal abnormalities. But there are other chromosomal abnormalities like that, one called trisomy 13, one called trisomy 18. So they comprise the majority of it. And it's kind of nature saying, well, maybe this pregnancy isn't meant to be because of the abnormalities that occur. So there really isn't a whole lot you can do about miscarriage. But we put people's mind at ease because most OBGYN and family physician offices are going to actually do an ultrasound at your first visit. And once we document and identify that there's a fetal heart rate present, the risk of miscarriage dramatically decreases to less than 1 to 2%. So having that first visit really improves your outcomes tremendously just by documenting that a fetal heart rate is present, a baby's heart rate is actually there.
Well, that's very good to know. So, Dr. Brown, I have some other ones here. Let me ask you about these, and you mentioned this one already. Morning sickness. What do we need to know about that, and why shouldn't women be concerned about that one so much?
Well, again, it sort of plagues people, but unfortunately or fortunately, it varies from one patient to the next. So some people can be pregnant and not have any morning sickness at all. And other people can be pregnant and have horrible morning sickness to the point where they need additional medical support and nutritional supplements. The bottom line is that the morning sickness is almost always going to resolve by itself by the time they leave the third to fourth month of pregnancy, so around that 12-week mark. So without doing anything, you can set your eye into the future and know that at that 12-week mark, it's going to resolve and get better in the vast majority of people. Having said that, there are some really neat options available for people that are not by prescription that carry very minimal risk, if any risk at all. Vitamin B6 supplements have been shown to really quiet the nerves within the stomach. And vitamin B6 you can get over the counter at any of your drugstores or grocery stores. They're small little pills that are tasteless, and they're very easily tolerable and do some really nice benefit. The other types of interventions would be acupuncture. There's these wristbands that anybody can get online at maternity stores, which essentially have a pressure point within the wrist region that has a focus on nausea in the brain. And so these wristbands that women wear actually tremendously improve the morning sickness that they have and can experience. And then lastly, there are some very well-used medications by prescription that are very safe that your physicians can prescribe. So you don't need to be suffering. Know that there are some interventions that can be effective and help get you through those first several months of pregnancy.
And you also mentioned preterm labor. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due. When I first started my training, there was really not a whole lot we had to offer women for preterm labor prevention. But we've learned an awful lot in the last 25 years. We know that an ultrasound exam at the anatomy screening time, usually done somewhere between 18 and 20 weeks of pregnancy, that looks at the length of the cervix. That's the piece of the uterus that dilates and allows preterm labor and or labor to occur. But that ultrasound screening exam tells us who's at more risk than not. And so if you happen to be one of those people that has a short cervix when we do that screening ultrasound, we can intervene and we can give you a progesterone hormone supplement, which has been proven in the corrected double-blinded studies to be very effective in helping prevent preterm labor from occurring. We also have learned that the biggest risk factor is the history of having a preterm labor. So intervening early with that same progesterone supplement actually prevents preterm labor from occurring if used appropriately and if started early enough in pregnancy. And then the last thing we know is some really not necessarily medical findings, but more social findings, things like dentition. Poor dental care has been shown to be very associated with preterm labor. So going to the dentist and getting cavities taken care of can actually help benefit you and prevent preterm labor from occurring. So there's lots of things we've learned with preterm labor that really makes a huge difference in the long run, different from 20 years ago that we didn't really have a whole lot to offer.
That's wonderful information. And how about emergency C-sections?
Well, you know, I think this is the biggest fear once people get near to their due date is how are they going to deliver and what's going to happen? And I think we try our best to calm people's nerves as much as we can. Being prepared for labor is probably one of the most important things one can do. And that comes from taking birthing classes, which unfortunately in this country with the use of internet really has not been utilized to the benefit that it should. People go online and they watch a 10-minute YouTube video and they feel that they're educated enough. But a lot of those birthing classes really do educate people so much more and prepare them so much more for labor. There are actually studies that have been shown that women will tolerate labor and have a faster labor if they attend birthing classes. What we try and stress to women is you don't really have control over what's going to happen. If your baby's going to tolerate labor, it will tolerate labor. And if there's something going on with the placenta or the uterus that it's not going to tolerate it, you should do what you should do best, and that's put your care in the best hands possible. And that means being in a hospital, being in a facility that can intervene quickly and deliver that baby quickly so that you and the baby can do well. We actually track that at St. Joseph's Health, and we can perform an emergency C-section in under 7 minutes. And we track how closely we come to that on average and how well or how the babies do afterwards and how the moms do afterwards. So we really pride ourselves in the ability to intervene if an emergency occurs. Yes, we absolutely want everybody to have a healthy, normal labor and have that successful vaginal delivery. But you need to know in the back of your mind when you need help that your site can intervene and provide that service for you in a safe and effective way. And St. Joseph's Health can do that.
7 minutes. That is amazing. Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for your time today. This has been very informative. And for more information, please visit womenshealthsjh.org. That's womenshealthsjh.org. This is St. Joseph's Health Medcast from St. Joseph's Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.